doing such a fine job at leading and showing all us old blokes up. And thank you to the musicians. Special thank you to Esther, first time up the front. So praise the Lord for someone new. And we might see a few new faces this year, Lord willing. So let's pray and we'll look at God's word. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that we can love you because you are such a loving God. And Lord, I do pray that each person that is here tonight will be able to rejoice in the understanding that they love you because you first loved them, that you died for them, and you removed their sin and the judgment that was upon them. I pray that each person will have that clear understanding tonight, and that, Father, they would receive it for themselves if they haven't as yet. But Lord, we give you thanks for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going through the book of Acts, and if you could please turn to chapter 10 in Acts. And last week, we ventured into chapter 10, and we met a man by the name of Cornelius. And we read about him in our Bible reading as well. We read that he was a centurion, Roman soldier, who had the authority over quite a number of men. We read that he was a very nice man, the sort of guy that you would like to know. He was devout in his religious activities. He feared the God of the Jews. As well as that, he taught his family to fear the God of the Jews. He gave to the poor, and he prayed to God always. And so he was a very good man in human standards. The sort of man that anyone would look at and said, surely someone like him is going to go to heaven. If anyone's going to go to heaven, it will be somebody like Cornelius. The only problem is when God looked at Cornelius, he saw a man who had the same problem that every person has. And that is, he was a sinner. Yes, he did a lot of good things, but he had also done many sinful things, and the good things didn't remove his sin. And because of that, God had to punish him for those sinful things. Yet we know that since God loved him like he loves all the world, he gave him an opportunity to have his sins forgiven. And the way he did this was by giving him an opportunity to hear the good news of how he could have his sins forgiven. Just like everybody else, Cornelius needed to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive it for himself and enjoy the forgiveness of sins if he didn't want to be punished for his sin. And because of this, God went to work bringing people into his life that could tell him this great news. And what the writer of the book of Acts does is he tells us two stories that were taking place at the same time, although they were around about 60 kilometres apart. And he shows us how God worked in the lives of various people. How he worked in the life of a man who needed to hear how his sins could be forgiven. And how he worked in the life of a man who had received that forgiveness of sin, and how he had this wonderful news and he needed to share it with this man Cornelius. And God did this in the lives of these two men by showing them a vision each. God doesn't usually use visions in this way, but I believe God did it this way and recorded it in his word so we can see how God works in the lives of people. He wanted to show us how he works in the heart of those who need to have their sins forgiven, and how he works in the heart of those who have received forgiveness, and he wants them to tell others. And the first vision we have already read of the time when Cornelius was praying. And so this was the first scene that's recorded in this wonderful story, how God worked in a man's heart so he could be saved from his sin. We read that Cornelius was praying like he did every day. And this day, at midday, he saw an angel. Now, the angel didn't tell him about Jesus. The angel told him, you need to go and find a man by the name of Peter staying in Joppa in a man by the name of Simon the Tanner's house, and he's going to tell you what you need to know. And so Cornelius discovered this day that he was missing something. There was something he needed to hear. Yes, he prayed. Yes, he gave money to the poor. Yes, he was a very religious and good man, but he was missing something. He discovered this. He may not have thought he was missing anything until then. But this angel told him there was something he needed to hear. And so Cornelius gets three men, a soldier and two of his servants, and sent them to Joppa to go get Peter. And so that's the first scene that's recorded in the book of Acts. But the other scene is in regards to Peter himself and how he saw a vision and how God used and prepared this man to go and tell this wonderful news to this soldier by the name of Cornelius. Now, you would think that a Christian wouldn't need any encouragement to go and tell someone else the good news of how their sins could be forgiven. Now, this was in the early days of the church, and there were a few things that were changing in the life of the Jewish people, particularly those who had received Jesus as their Savior. Because up until this time, Jewish people didn't want to have anything to do with Gentiles. But we see how God began to change this Jewish man. If we look in chapter 10, we read the vision that he sees from verse 9 onwards. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, so 12 o'clock. And he became very hungry while he prayed, and would have eaten, but while they were ready, he fell into a trance. I'm really glad to hear that even this apostle struggled when he went to pray. He was up there to pray, and he gets hungry. And then when he's hungry, he gets tired. And it says he falls into a trance. And I don't know if that was God-induced or just sleep-induced, but here he is. And we read in verse 11, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit as the four corners, and let down to the earth. And so it probably looked like a great big picnic blanket, so to speak, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, for those who may be younger and don't understand what's taking place here, let me quickly explain. The Jewish people, for many, many years, had been told by God there were two things that were unclean that they were to stay away from as Jewish people. The first thing that they were to stay away from were Gentiles. Now, what that means is anybody who isn't a Jew. We are Gentiles. And all the other rest of the world were Gentiles. They were not to be friends with Gentiles. They were not to eat with Gentiles, not to have them stay over. Because they worshipped false idols, God wanted them to stay completely away from them so that they don't end up serving false gods. And so God said, Gentiles are unclean for a Jew. Also, he said there were certain animals that were unclean that they were to stay away from. It's not so much that they were awful things that you shouldn't eat. God just wanted them to be different to every other nation. And so he said there are certain animals you are not to eat as Jews. They are unclean to you. And so if a Jew wanted to obey God, he was to stay away from certain animals and not eat them, and he was to stay away from anybody who wasn't a Jew. That's nice and clear. But now, in this vision that Peter has, being a Jew, God tells him to eat these unclean animals that he was meant to stay away from. And he refused to do it. Now, the reason why God was doing this is he wanted to show Peter that as a Christian, things were going to change. You can eat whatever you want, but not only that, those Gentiles aren't unclean anymore. You can go and spend time with them because they're going to become your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. We're all going to have God as our Father and be brothers and sisters. And so the Lord was teaching Peter this through this vision of unclean animals. And it says there in verse 15, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." And so the Lord spoke three times to Peter and says, "Peter, I want you to kill these animals and eat them." And he said, "No way, I'm not going to do that because you've told me in the past that they're unclean." So it happened three times. Not sure if he did that because it took three times for Peter to get something, or because three Gentiles were just about to knock on his door, and so he did it three times to make it nice and clear. Not exactly sure, but we read there in verse 17, "Now while Peter doubted him in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate." And so we get the picture. Peter has just seen this vision. He's walking down from the roof, scratching his head. "I wonder what on earth God is trying to teach me here." And just as he's thinking about this, there's a knock on Simon's door, and there are three Gentiles asking for Peter. Three unclean people. They arrive at the gate. And it's here that these two stories come together. The Cornelius story and the Peter story. They come together and become one story. Up until this time, they were separate stories. And we read in verse 18, "And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee." Now, I'm guessing it's about now the penny drops for Peter. And he realizes, now I know what the vision was about. Just like these animals once were unclean, but God says, I've made them clean and you can eat. So too these Gentiles that used to be unclean to us, God has now declared they are clean. And so it was all coming together. He realized that he wasn't to think of one person more valuable. Now it says there in verse 23, "Then called he them in and lodged them." Now that was a big thing. Things were starting to change already. A Jew didn't ask a Roman or any Gentile to come into their house and lodge there the night. But it's starting to click with Peter. And the next day, he and the other Christian Jews went with these men to meet Cornelius. And we read, "And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and his friends." He must have gone around and said, "Hey, we got this guy Peter coming. An angel said he's going to tell us what we need to hear. This is going to be important. And so come and listen to what he has to say." And so they're all sitting there waiting. It says there in verse 25, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him." Now, this was significant. You see, a Roman doesn't bow down to anybody. Romans were very proud. You're a centurion. You don't bow down to anybody, particularly someone who you have conquered. Yet here is this Roman centurion bowing down to this Jewish man. Now, he wasn't right in doing that, because you only bow down to God. But what we see is he was a humble man. He knew he needed something from God. He hadn't had the whole picture. And he needed something. He was willing to humble himself so he could have his sins forgiven. And often that's the reason why people don't get their sins forgiven. They're too proud to acknowledge that they need help. Too proud to admit that they are a sinner. Too proud to admit that they need God to do a work. Too proud to think that people might laugh at them if they become a Christian. And so they are never saved from the punishment of sin. But Cornelius wasn't too proud, although he got things wrong. You see, Peter had a great message, but he himself wasn't great. And he knew that, because in verse 26 it says, "But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together." So there's a whole room full of Gentiles. "And he said unto them, 'You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" That's what he first says. "Do you know that I really, as a Jew, shouldn't be here amongst all you? But God showed me I shouldn't think anyone's less worthy to hear the good news of Jesus Christ." And that's a good thing to keep in mind, that no one is any less important in the sight of God. Doesn't matter if you come from a rich neighborhood or a poor neighborhood or an in-between. Doesn't matter if you are white or black or in-between. If you're from the jungle or the city, each soul is precious in the sight of God. And once this had dawned on Peter, he asked them why they had called for him. And we read in verse 29, "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me?" So he's basically saying, why did you send for me? And if we read on, Cornelius retells the story about seeing the angel and how the angel said that send for Peter and he'll tell you what you need to hear. And at the very end, in verse 33, at the last end, it says, "Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." We want to hear what God has told you to tell us. And so Cornelius tells him, we're ready. What is it that the angel couldn't tell us? What is it that I've been missing? Even though I've been a faithful man, I've prayed to God, I've been a good man, I've helped the poor, please tell me what I'm missing so I can have my sins forgiven. And what Peter tells Cornelius and those who are with him is they needed their sins forgiven, and the only way that could come to pass is through what Jesus did for them in dying on the cross. And if they believe this for themselves and ask Jesus to be their Savior, they can have their sins forgiven. That punishment that was hanging over them from God Himself can be removed. And they become the children of God. You know, he goes on and he tells them this through various ways. He tells them in verse 34 how salvation is for all. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." And he tells them how he came to earth. How he lived a sinless life. He tells them how he was slain and hung on a tree or on a cross. He tells them how he also rose from the dead. Have a look at verse 40. "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Peter was saying, hey, I saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. It's true. He had paid the penalty in full. He was truly the Son of God. I ate with him, and I saw him, and I touched him. He truly rose from the dead. And he says in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission or forgiveness of sins. So that's what he told them. Salvation is for everyone. Everyone can have their sins forgiven. Doesn't matter what nation you're from. And it's through Jesus who came, who was the Lord of glory. He came as a man and lived a perfect life and was crucified and died and rose again so we can have forgiveness. Notice there's no mention of needing to be good to have your sins forgiven. There's no mention of going to church. No mention of being sprinkled with some water. No mention of giving money. It's all about Jesus and believing that what he did on that cross was for you. And it's through Jesus and his work that a person can have their sins forgiven. And if we read on, we see the result. The result is that these people heard and believed and were saved. They had their sins forgiven. And here we see the result of God bringing various circumstances together in the lives of people so they can hear the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus. God used various circumstances. He used various people to work in the heart of the sinner and also in the heart of the person that was to tell them the good news that they themselves had received in the past. And you know, if you're a Christian here tonight, you have two stories around your salvation. Have you ever stopped to think about that? You have two stories. You have the story of how God worked in your heart, how he convicted you of your sin, how he showed you the need of being forgiven, how he used circumstances to come together so you could hear that wonderful news. There is your story. But then there's also the story of how God used someone to tell you that good news. He used someone to tell you that story. You are the Cornelius and you have a Peter who told you the news. And I love hearing testimonies of how people came to know the Lord Jesus. You know, one of my most favorite is there's a man by the name of Johan. He moved to Australia from South Africa to get a better life for himself. He moved to a little place called Coffs Harbour, lived there by himself. He was like a Cornelius. He was a very good man, but he was going to hell. Then there was a man by the name of John, and he was like Peter. John decided to letterbox his neighbourhood with little gospel tracts on how to you can become a Christian. And he just, like he put in every letterbox, he put one in Johan's letterbox. Johan comes home from work, gets his mail, sees this little tract. He goes in and reads about how Jesus died for him. And he said, this is what I need. And he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. And there was a phone number and he rang it. He found out where this letter came from and he went to church that week, met John who put it in his letterbox, and they have been worshipping God together in that church for I don't know how long now, 15, 20 years. One was the Cornelius, one was the Peter. You know, I know of a man by the name of Gordon. Gordon was an older man who needed a hip replacement. And he was recovering in hospital. And there was a young man who was in a car accident and in quite a bad way. He had to be there for quite a while right next to Gordon. And he got wheeled right next to him and the bed right beside him, and Gordon had the opportunity to tell him about his Saviour for many days. And that man asked the Lord to save him. He was the Cornelius, and Gordon was his Peter. For some here, your parents are your Peter. Your parents told you about the Lord Jesus. I heard of a testimony of a young man who said that there was a girl he liked at school, and she invited him along to youth group. So he went, and he said he found far more than what he was really looking for, because he heard a man talk about how he was a sinner and how he was under the judgment of God. And he needed to have his sins forgiven. And the only way to do that is through believing on what Jesus did for him. And he asked the Lord to save him. He never got the girl, but he got eternal life. That's even far better. I know a young girl. Well, she's not a young girl anymore. Her name's Brooke. She was about 16, and she was in the very cool group at school. And her brother got invited to go to youth group, and he started to go to church, and he became a Christian. And he would tell her about the Lord Jesus, but she sort of shied away from it because she didn't want to lose her little cool group of friends. You can't be cool and be a Christian and go and do the things that they were doing. But he asked her to come to a camp one day, and she decided to come. I think it was a January camp. And when she was there, after about the third day, I just felt compelled to go and talk to her. And so I said, Brooke, do you mind if I have a chat with you? And she said, yeah, no worries. I said, Brooke, have you ever thought about your soul and where you're going to spend eternity? She said, I think about it a lot. And I said, do you want to know how you can have your sins forgiven? And she says, I do. And I shared with her for about 20 minutes on this big log while everyone was walking by and half the youth group were praying for her about how she can have her sins forgiven. I later found out, she didn't tell me until a while later, but I later found out she went into that cabin and she bowed down beside the bed and asked the Lord to save her. A few years later, I baptized her and her mum, who she told about the Lord, and she got saved as well. They're both in that church with Johan up there in Coffs Harbour. There was that I was the Peter and she was the Cornelius. And you know, I have had that feeling many a time, that prompting to go and share the gospel with someone. You know, there's one prompting I will never forget though. There was a man who lived next door to us in Coffs Harbour. He was an elderly man, Mr. Ryan, his name was. Lovely man, but he had leukemia. And I would go in and have little chats with him and just share, you know, just to be nice to him. And his wife, Mrs. Ryan, said how he really enjoyed those talks that we had. And it was a Sunday evening, about 20 past five, maybe half past five, and we were heading into church. I bundled my three little children in the back seat at that stage in a little bit of a rush. And I remember I was just about to close the door, and I had that prompting from God. You need to go and speak to Mr. Ryan. You need to go and share the gospel with him. And my wife doesn't know this, but I sat there for maybe 10 seconds. And I thought, no, Alan, you're being silly. I'll do it tomorrow. And I closed the door and I went off to church. I found out the next day that he passed away that night. That's one of my big regrets in life. That I had the prompting of God to speak, but I didn't speak. And you know, it doesn't always end with good news, these stories. Sometimes the person God wanted to use to share the gospel doesn't speak. Sometimes the person speaks, but the Cornelius doesn't receive Christ as their Saviour. While at other times the person speaks and the person asks the Lord to save them. And if you're a Christian here today, you have those two stories. The work God did in you and the person he used to share that gospel. But if you're not a Christian, then maybe, just maybe tonight, this is your story. You've come to church. you've been convicted, how you know that if you die tonight, you have to be judged and punished for all your sin. You've heard how Jesus will take away those sins and forgive you if you want. I've been the Peter, and you're the Cornelius. Question is, how are you going to respond? Like Cornelius and those others? Or will you put it off for another day? I trust you won't do that if the Lord's been speaking to you. Can we all close our eyes? I'm going to pray in a moment. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's someone here tonight that realizes, hey, I need to find out how I can have my sins forgiven. And Pastor Mitchell, I'd love you to get someone to just show me afterwards. If that's the case, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to mention your name. But if you would like me to get someone to show you, just like I showed that Brooke girl, how you can have your sins forgiven, I'd ask that you just put up your hand. Put it back down. I won't mention your name, but I'll get someone to talk to you afterwards. Is there anyone who would like me to organize that for you? Just one. Anybody? I'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that it is not your will that any should perish, but that all will have that forgiveness of sin. Thank you that Jesus made it possible. And I pray that, Lord, if there are any here who are wrestling with you, that they will surrender before it's too late, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.